T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We are on the air, and whether you like that Panthers team or not, they're really good, and they open up tonight for the home and season opener against the Penguins. So Barkov and Huberto and Reinhardt and Ekblad and Uyghur and Verhaeghe and all the rest of those guys, and they got a bunch of names now. They got a bunch of guys that maybe the most talented team they've had. We thought last year was pretty good, and they added a couple more pieces at the end of last year, as well as Reinhardt this year, which is a big get. And we'll see. We'll see what it looks like, man. But it starts tonight, and we'll see. Of course, the Heat going for a little preseason game, although they're leaving everybody home. Right. This will be a let's just get through it. The rest of the guys are staying home.
Right, right. These are the guys that will be available for tonight's preseason game.
I was waiting to find out Eric Spoelstra won't be making the trip. He'll give it to his assistant coach. He'll be resting up with a cold, too. Anyway, we do have a lot of stuff to get to, and tonight should be fun, by the way.
Fun night in sports tonight, right?
Tom Brady. Anything with Tom Brady. Listen, man, I don't know how long we're going to have him around. I don't know how you feel about him, but he's pretty damn good no matter what you think. And the Dolphins are glad to see that game over. And now Philadelphia and Tampa Bay on Thursday Night Football. And then the big baseball game I'm sure you guys are all here in South Florida really care about a lot.
First pitch, 9:07 tonight, Joe?
San Francisco and L.A., one of the great rivalries. I'm going to say this. You guys can – now I'm throwing it out there kind of. But when I was growing up, it was one of the great rivalries and has been around. But it takes two teams to be good to be a rivalry. And finally, San Francisco was able to keep up with L.A. And here they are, two best records in baseball and a game five. That's the way it's supposed to be with that loaded L.A. team and see what happens tonight in that game. One of the best rivalries for baseball?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. This would be a good game seven of the end, you know, to get to the World Series. I hate to see this in the kind of the first round, I guess you could say, of the baseball playoffs because one of these teams won 100-plus games. Tomorrow will be done for their season, and the other one will be moving on.
You start talking about the amount of wins they had.
It's ridiculous. I mean,
Tampa Bay also had 100 wins,
right?
So, and they're out, but yeah.
You'll have two teams that won 100-plus games, both watching at home tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. That rivalry to me is so far west.
No.
It's a West Coast rivalry.
There was sarcasm when I said that. In fairness to you.
In all seriousness, did you have the same growing up? Did you have the same rivalries that we have out here? I mean, was that relevant to you? Because I feel like you're almost in, when you're that far west, it's almost a different world.
So I will give you that.
Games are always on so late.
By the way, that is a great question. It is fair. And I'm going probably more old timers are up at 6 a.m. So growing up on the West Coast and being a huge Bay Area fan of everything because of my professor, my father of sports. And when we had time, that was the thing to travel 2 hours to the Bay Area and watch all our favorite San Francisco teams. He made it clear, we do not like Oakland teams. They were never brought up. There was no hatred. We just would drive a little further to get to San Francisco because that's how he grew up. And so we went from there. But, yeah, so growing up, the San Francisco Giants and the L.A. Dodgers were a big, big rivalry because the Giants had some really good teams with superstars, although they didn't do much. Willie, Juan Marichal, and a lot of great players, a lot of really good players, but they never won anything. And then you had Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale and all those great players down with the Dodgers, and they used to throw at each other, had some unbelievable fights. But I will tell you, growing up, the Yankees and the Red Sox were big. Even though we were 3,000 miles away, everybody in California knew the Yankees and the Red Sox were really good. A lot of it had to do with the DiMaggio families, a Bay Area family, Joe D. And so that stuff was big. The 49ers and Rams used to have knockdown dragouts. That was a big rivalry. And then a bunch of stuff happened during that time, and it kind of got away. But and the problem was, while I'm saying all this stuff, Oakland is winning championships in football and baseball. And so
the team you're not allowed to root for, right?
I was just never a fan of. I mean, they were fun to watch. Oakland had some great baseball teams. They had a great run of baseball teams before they lost all those players to all the other teams because of money, because they were so cheap in Oakland. So yeah, those were kind of big rivalries. So now I used to think growing up that Cal and Stanford was really big,
right.
I never realized how small. The only people that really care about Cal and Stanford
are the Cal and Stanford
are the Bay Area people, because a lot of those people are really smart and get really good jobs in the Bay Area. They run all the big companies and all the high tech.
Right.
Yeah, they're big down. There's people either from Cal or Stanford in all those companies,
right.
or both, right? From out there, but the overall rivalries like the Michigan Ohio State, that thing is. Look at, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Is this finally going to be the year, Michigan?
The end all question, right?
But I got to tell you, growing up, you know. It's kind of like here, the Miami-Florida State thing,
right.
Is – it got national for a while and people kind of care, but the West Coast, they
didn't really care about it.
No, not like we do back here.
Yeah,
especially when we both were good, it was national game and big and stuff. So, but overall, I think there's a passion overall of sports, especially football, back here that they don't have in California. I'll say something else. I believe California loves when it's time for another sport to switch over, there's a lot more popularity out there with it compared to here. There's a big drop off between sports and I think that's a South thing. I think South goes crazy for their football.
Oh no,
there are
right.
a lot of Pac-12 games that don't sell out if you're not playing somebody really good. There's a lot of people that don't sell out. We're here. No matter who you're playing, they stuff these SEC, right? The stadiums are full.
90,000, right.
So it's a little different. And I know that my dad came back. He goes, you guys talk about high school recruiting and football. And he goes, what about baseball? I go, Dad, look at it. Here, we'll go to a game. Wow. Where do you want to sit?
Which section do you want?
Yeah. Where do you want to sit? We can sit wherever you want to sit. You let me know. So things are just a little different without getting into the history lesson of sports. And again, I think some of the big rivalries like the Red Sox and Yankees, they're still pretty special, even though it was one game, right? That was still.
Well, like Hollywood said, that would have been a nice five-game series or a seven-game series.
Five or seven, right? Yeah. Any of that stuff. So anyway, that's another one. And by the way, when I say San Francisco and LA, I know you're all excited. That's obviously – little sarcasm in there, like nobody back here
cares. A game five if you're a sports fan.
No,
I think that nobody cares. The game starts a little past 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
No, but nobody truly. Why would anybody back here? The only teams people care about, the teams you grow up with or where you live. That's pretty much. Now there are a few
people.
But I
disagree with you. Again, if, like, if the game started 6 o'clock our time, I'd love to watch
it. Right, it's an elimination game.
Yeah, like I would be there watching that. I flip back and forth with football, obviously, would be number one, but. It's a watch, Joe. Like, the game starts at 9 o'clock. It's going to end past midnight, probably.
Oh, the ratings, by the way. The ratings tonight will have nothing in common.
Right.
The Bucks and Eagles.
Oh, come on. You got Tom Brady.
Football
right.
will remind San Francisco and L.A. as big as you think your game is tonight, the two best records in baseball. And one's a great story, and one is the money machine of sports. Whatever we need, we'll buy. Yeah, it's got nothing on watching Tom Brady throw at age 44 tonight against a passionate Philadelphia Eagles team. That's it's not nothing, absolutely nothing in common. By the way, we got a lot of stories to get to here this morning. So Manny Diaz, I asked him on Monday about this time off and having these meetings and telling older players that they're not going to be playing as much because young guys are as good or better with upside. and you got to make changes because it's not working the way it is. And so Manny came out here yesterday or the day before and said, listen, you know, we're dealing with some disgruntled guys who are upset about losing playing time. You're in or you're out, and I expect we're going to lose some players. So that, Manny Diaz came out and expected that. By the way, so did everybody else. If you've been watching this program and you know all the names and you know who's playing well and who's not and why we're talking about whether Manny will be around or not. And listen, he's got to win some games or he definitely won't be around. There's no question about that. So Mark Pope and D. Wiggins are two names we've been talking about now for a couple of years. And again, I guess they didn't show up is the reason I bring them up. It looks like they're both out. They didn't show up for a practice and speculation along with a few other guys. We're trying to figure out who has COVID and didn't show up, and I'm sure the coaches too, and which guys just said, screw this. After the one-on-one meetings, I'm gone, and I've got that free agent thing better known as the transfer portal that I know I can go to, and I'll find somebody that you know, that appreciates my talent and stuff and get a fresh start. I will say this, and again, I have nothing against Mark Pope or D. Wiggins, both South Florida guys. I have nothing against them. Played here, were big stars. You can blame coaches for a lot of things, but you can't blame coaches for guys that can't catch a football.
That's it. You're right. Hit the nail on the head.
Those guys got open, had a chance to make a lot of plays, made some plays, but weren't consistent enough. Even the spring football game, both of them dropped their first pass thrown to them, which has nothing to do with the regular season, but they've done this to themselves where they put themselves on double secret probation for coming back with all these receivers. And so I got no problem with those guys leaving. If they want to leave, the way the rules are, hell, anybody plays football at any age here, you can go basically anywhere, anytime you want to go. But I will just say this. If a guy's dropping the ball, and I'm going to throw Will Mallory in there too. I get it that Will Mallory hasn't been a bigger part of this offense and had more targets. But Will Mallory, the guy that showed up this year.
Not the same guy.
That was catching everything right, and doing the crazy things that he did last year as a receiver, whether he was starting or playing as the number two tight end there. He's not the same guy. He's just not. And again, if you're mad out there as a fan, why Will Mallory's not, you know, not getting more targets, okay. But Will Mallory had a chance to have a couple of touchdown passes right off the bat. And he didn't make the plays. And we saw him make every play possible last year, including the best play he made was the one, what was he, out of bounds or there was a penalty. He made this ridiculous 70-something yard run. Again, I get anything else, the way a guy's being used, but a guy's dropping the ball or a guy can't tackle, I don't know how much you blame on coaches, although it's a bad look for Manny that his team can't tackle defensively. One of the worst tackling teams I've ever seen that you have, the way guys are bouncing out. And I have had a coach tell me some of that is technique that he's teaching. And I always think of Bill Walsh his guys used to come in the 80s. And they never tackled a lot. And so somebody asked him one day, why is your camp so soft? And you literally, why Coach Shula and the rest of these guys around the league are hitting twice a day. And his thing was out on the West Coast, who, you know, he was always thinking way ahead. This guy, the West Coast guy, said, if Ronnie Lott and those guys don't know how to tackle by now, playing at USC and stuff, then I got a big problem. So that was his mindset.
I like that.
Now,
yeah.
Now Don Shula was like, oh, hell no. To be good, you got to do it. And so we are going to go live once a day at some point in practice. Our goal line and short yardage was pretty live, minus the tackling. It was all out right there at the goal line for guys. And so anyway, those guys leaving, and I don't even know what their eligibility situation is. I in college football, I don't know. Woody, those guys have any time left?
Yeah, that is the ugly part of the transfer portal, isn't it? Like guys that just basically quit. And I would be very concerned, you know, reading those articles yesterday, man. I'd be very concerned if I were Manny Diaz about losing my team at this point.
Well, this is
this is a concerning situation, Joe. They get out, they go out to North Carolina, and they go down in that game, and I mean, you could see this team entirely quit, which would be really, you know, really a bummer. I mean, there's still a long way to go in this season, but things looked really bad from that article.
So
the guy's missing, you know, practice because of a non-COVID thing that's going around. And all this, I mean, it's just all
the
weird,
virus,
man.
On campus.
It's
right?
Well,
really, it's
the
just
big
not
talk.
A very good situation.
He
right now.
From his standpoint, he even find out with these one-on-ones who's in and who's out because he's got guys moping. Coaches know who's moping and who's pouting and who's upset. And when the new depth chart comes out and all of a sudden they're going, hey, you're running with the twos today and the 19-year-old's running in front of you. So you're losing time. And the first thing guys want to do, and because you got a lame duck coach at this point too, and so he's probably going to go to North Carolina with less guys, right? A lot of the backup guys. So, and
isn't that the way to save the locker room, not lose it? What he's doing?
It goes both ways because you got buddies, man. You got the buddy system in there, and you got a lot of guys alike guys. And
but a sixth, seventh year guys on this roster, if they're not playing up to bat or for, you know, guys have been here a long time and they want to leave the team, that's fine. It's the younger guys, too, you got to worry about that. If they don't think they're getting their share, they're going to leave. But if the younger guys are still on board, then Manny could save that locker.
It's a divided team. No, I don't think
you
can. I
appreciate the positive spin that Zach's trying to put on this morning, but it seems like it's a nice heading towards disaster.
And listen.
It's just the way it seems.
Well, you lose games, it's going to be a disaster.
The 22, 23-year-old guys, whether they're good or not, most of them aren't very good,
right,
as we have found out.
Yeah.
But the fact is those guys look up to them, and when they start, it affects young guys too. It just does. So,
I mean, mentally, that's fine. There's going to be more playing time for those guys now, too.
Yeah. This is the bad part of the transfer portal, though, and probably why the transfer portal needs to, in some ways, go away, right? Like,
well, it's not going away.
But you can't have guys quit and just transfer to other – first of all, what other Division I team would want a guy that just quit like that?
Oh, that's your
right?
Chance you're taking.
You can't be that big of a front runner where if it, you know, the season doesn't go the way you want it.
Well, these older guys got to be just about out of time.
I mean, right.
I don't know how much more you can play, but I think the transfer portal's not going anywhere. It's not. It's not going anywhere. We're getting long winded here, and I knew this thing would get going, and we'll talk about it. And by the way, you don't think the guys know Manny's situation? You don't think they read about?
Of course.
Manny Diaz situation every day and the coaching staff situation. So I am really curious to see what this thing's going to look like and how many guys are going to lay it out there for the coach. And by the way, they're not hurting the coach. They're also hurting themselves. But I think we're all curious to see what this thing – and North Carolina is not playing very well. This is the worst they've been, even though they've got a really good quarterback.
Coming off a loss to FSU.
In a long, long time. And I'm just dying to see – what it's going to look like and what kind of effort, and will they play together, whoever's playing. And it is a great opportunity for young guys, but who's going to be on that airplane making that trip?
This is a scary situation, but I
– Who shows to practice today?
Vegas doesn't even seem to know what to think of this game. They have it basically as a pick 'em. North Carolina is favored by a field goal. I don't think anyone knows what to think of this game.
Well, listen, let's go to break. We got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
He'll be at practice, yes. We're excited to get him back. I know he's excited to get out there. We'll take it one day at a time still, but we're moving enough in the right direction that he'll be out there. He'll have an opportunity to practice and hopefully, you know,
hopefully play in the game. Yeah, if you ask him, he's 100%, he's fine. You know, he's not going to tell anybody any different. And, you know, he's made a lot of progress. But, you know, he's dealing with something, and he's going to tough it out. That's just the type of kid he is. But, you know, we just got to see how it goes through practice, get back into the swing of things. We're hopeful that he'll do well in practice today and be available this weekend.
Well, I want to tell you one thing. I don't know a lot, but Tua Tagovailoa is going to start at quarterback. I'm going to tell you why. I look in his social media, and they got him making a lot of throws at practice that top secret team would never let ever be out of him making throws and Tua's back and all that stuff to get their fan base jacked up on the million of hits they get from their fan base all over the country and all over the world as far as that goes, overseas and stuff. So, yeah, they don't just accidentally put Tua stuff out there. So he's
or allow the media to do that anyway.
Yeah, and I'm expecting that, he is going to play. And listen, man, nobody's going to want to hear about those ribs if they're still sore, if he's not 100%. First of all, it's not a 100% game. It's not. Unless you're just going to go back and forth and take a lot of games off, nobody's going to be 100% playing that game. It's just impossible, whether you're a part-time player or full-time player, to say, wow, week 15, and I feel like I did in the opener. Like, everybody gets banged up, and then, you know, you got to make that decision. And I'm not saying it's an easy decision. It seemed to be a hell of a lot easier 30 or 40 years ago. But you got to decide. And the old thing that the coach always brings up is, are you injured? Or what is it? Are you injured or
are you
hurt?
Are you injured? Right.
Yeah. So, and then they would explain it to you. So, like, you didn't know what they were saying. You know, like, huh, I know what you're saying. I know it hurts. And right. He goes, can you play, though?
Right.
I mean, I know you don't feel good, but can you play?
If you're hurt, you can play. If you're
can
injured,
you play?
You can. Right.
Even if you're not as good, can you still play, though? I need you. And we got a lot of guys in today's game that make that decision and call their agent, and I think it's around the league and
decide. It's a business decision at that point.
Not to play.
Right.
And, hey, it's a longer season. Take a week. So I don't know, but I do know this. They got a game against Jacksonville. Nobody wants to hear anything about who's healthy and who's not, especially at the quarterback position. People are going to turn that thing on Sunday morning early, and they want to see the Dolphins put together something that looks really good from start to finish and see if they can play well offensively outside of scripted plays, which is brought to my attention again yesterday. And when you can't, you get past those scripted plays where everybody knows what it's going to be. How can you do it freelancing calls, man, right, from play to play with your gut and what's working and what people around you are feeding you that they see, and you're going, great, great idea. We got man-to-man in this situation on first down. Let's pick it up and take a shot over the top and all those type of things that haven't been very good, to be honest. Play calling is
not good.
And right, trying to figure out what teams are doing, I just sense that we haven't had a good feel for that stuff so far. And that was my first shot of the morning. It's amazing.
It was good.
I actually been really good till 6:30 this
right
morning to say that's – it's got to get picked up. But you're playing Jacksonville, man.
Well, you said against the Colts it was kind of we all kind of said it was a must-win game. You got to win that Colts game and they lose. Joe, this is not – there's so much pressure on this team right now to win this week. You lose this week, you are that team now. You are that team, that the get-right team. If Jacksonville literally wins this game in the first, 21 games that they'd win, then you have the Falcons coming up. You are the get-right team.
Yeah, well, the Colts game was about getting back into it. Like, okay, let's take care of some home and let's put this thing together off that overtime loss. Even though we didn't play that great in that game, we did find a way to get that sucker into overtime. And now this one is at a different level. You're playing the worst team, and you're trying to stay out of that group,
at this point, right?
And down there with the Detroit's and you and people going back and forth and. Everything will be negative. And by the way, with Tua quarterback, and there'll be a lot more interest and people are going to be a lot more interested to find out what it's going to look like with Tua compared to Jacoby Brissett. There's No question about that.
How about just wins so one of the all-time scumbags doesn't get a Gatorade bath on your behalf here, like because of you? I mean,
you know what?
I have an
you
image.
Brought that up.
I have an image of that dirt bag.
I have green Gatorade. He's getting green Gatorade over his head after the game, and there's Trevor and a couple of the guys, the rah-rah guys, the young guys, all hugging him and stuff, and they carry him over. And there's Coach Flores. Yeah, I don't want to see
like,
that.
What's the storyline after? Oh, Herb overcame a really tough week of cheating on his wife. Like, I mean, what's the storyline?
The storyline
like,
might look good on that side, but it's not going to look good on this side. That flight home
is
going to
be a long flight
home.
The biggest scumbags in the history of modern sports. Like, we cannot allow this to happen on our watch. Please,
oh,
Dolphins,
man.
One time.
Oh God!
Just go up
there. I think
there
if they
and,
lose
and
this
just,
game,
not only beat them,
gets fired.
But, no, just not only beat them, but beat them good, man.
Yeah, that list.
This can't be close.
The best thing would really be that for this team is somehow get a 10 or 11 or 13 point win, jump on the plane and come home. And not that I expect it's going to be a perfect game because it won't be, but make some plays on both sides, get some takeaways, and get some long passes in there and just play a little differently.
I mean, I know we think it's dysfunctional down here right now, which it certainly is, but at least we don't have our coach's wife coming out with statements. Like,
no, we don't have that stuff.
That's
right.
That's
about the only thing we don't have right now.
That's an unbelievable level of dysfunction. You can't allow that to beat you.
I don't know. We're close to that down here.
No, we're not. We're not anywhere near that down here.
Listen.
We don't have that part.
Okay, maybe not the part with someone's wife, but football-wise,
we're
in the gutter
right
now.
Yeah, but we don't have the part where the wife asks you, what do you think of this guy? And you got to answer, you know, like I would never, you know, when somebody sees it on TV and says, because it becomes a news story. It was just weird what he did. Still one of the strangest things. It's over, and the Dolphins obviously can. It's one of the strangest things I have ever seen. That a coach, first of all, didn't go home with his team.
Right. Well, that's the strange.
The coach and the coaching staff are going right back to work, man. Their thinking is got a few extra days to evaluate our team and get our game plan together because they all are about working, trying to outwork the other team that you're playing against and to the point that friggin' guys don't sleep. Like, those coaches work. And it's really weird to hear that the leader of all those coaches – because I'll guarantee you his coaching staff didn't take a few days off.
No, they all went back to
and he decided he was going to go back to his whatever
getting
the story.
Getting out of Dodge.
You know, he started with the grandkids, and you saw what it ended up.
Ended with a blonde.
With a blonde. You
and
know,
a lap dance.
40 years younger than his wife.
Right.
Never good. Yeah. Wouldn't fly. Oh, another one I had to hear about. Another one that popped up. You know when the stories flip over like, out of nowhere, my wife watches zero sports. Did you see this coach that this guy, John? I go, yeah, John Gruden. She goes, oh my God, what a bad guy. And I go, yeah, there's no question.
Tell
it's bad.
Appearances with him?
No, I just.
You bring that up?
I didn't say that. I didn't say any of that stuff. Right. But I tell you, I was thinking of my man, Mike Mayock, and I do like Mike, and he's been great, great with us. And
hey, cheers to Mike Mayock. Came out yesterday. Now he's got 51% of the power back in the team. He didn't have it before.
A lot of people think he's
dead man walking too now.
See what's going to happen with him going forward, short of this team find a way to the playoffs, because they just flat out quit on Gruden against Chicago. There is no question about that, that was – wasn't a real focus game for his gay defense alignment, and some of his black players probably didn't
not
go over
happy.
Real well
right.
with some of the stuff, like the guy you're playing for, and this is how he feels. Do you see the Nasib took a personal day? You don't think that was a punch in the gut?
Right.
I've been playing for this guy, and he's telling me certain things only to find out.
This came out? Right.
Hey, man, you never know what somebody's like at home. Or on social media, man. Social media brings a different side to everybody, not necessarily the side you think you see every day.
Right.
Yes, sir. You never know. Never, ever know. All right. We've got a lot of other stuff to get to here this morning. Kyrie Irving. Unbelievable. As bad as it gets. And he came out and spoke yesterday. Kyrie Irving is still going to get, even though they don't want to use him, still going to get half his friggin' money. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
I had to stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to, speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things, you know, and don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that, you know, I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that. Like, really be aware. All these people saying all these things about what's going on with me, and it's just not true. Pay attention to what's going on out in the real world. You know, people are losing their jobs to these mandates. People are having to make choices with their own lives, which I respect. You know, and I don't want to sit here and play on people's emotions either. Just use logic. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine. You know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming where I prepared for it. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball, you know, be able to use my talent to continue to inspire, influence people in the right way. Like, putting this on me is just like, why are you putting it on me? You know, like, this is not part of, you know, what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper, right? Like, I'm just a person who's being utilized as an example. For some odd reason, you know, people love to have my name in the mix of just some BS.
In case you didn't know, everybody's out to get Kyrie Irving. Everybody's out to get one of the best players in basketball, just so you know. And he wanted to make that clear that I don't know what that was. He was all over the board on that stuff. But the great part of this country is, man, the great part, whether you think it's a positive or negative, if you don't like it and you don't want to follow what corporate America is doing, by the way, everywhere, including here, you can go do something different, man. If you don't like it and you don't want to be a radio talk show host or whatever job you have that's doing it to you, or a nurse, I know some nurses, I'm not doing it. I refuse to. I don't believe in it. I don't trust the shot. That's fine. You can go do something different.
It's your choice.
Hey, nobody's like, you know, they're not chasing you down the street with guns if you don't do it, you know. But
he's got to understand that there's going to be people around him that are pissed off in the NBA, considering the fact that what's the percentage now of guys that are vaccinated that are playing?
His teammates looked exhausted yesterday. I watched James Harden's press conference, and he looked just.
Well, they've obviously talked to him, and he goes, "No, I believe in this."
Exhausted talking about this stuff. Yeah. And by the way, look at James Harden, a guy whose window on winning a title is certainly closing, and he knows how hard it is to win a title. Like, what are the chances that team even stays healthy down the stretch? So you want to roll the dice with the team that you have. But this, I mean, just listening to that rambling response there from Kyrie Irving.
Well, he's getting blasted by a lot of people. And so he wanted to come out and tell sort of his side of the story, whatever it is. Why is he a voice for the voiceless? Why is everybody after me? And I'm like, well, you're the best player that hadn't been vaccinated.
Right.
If you were some, like, first of all, if you weren't very good, you wouldn't be on the team because they would definitely – get rid of you. That's the way it works. You just would go, it's close. We're going to go ahead and let you go. Go work on your game.
Right.
But the other part of this that's interesting, and guys, I didn't know this till yesterday. This is fresh. Kyrie Irving, because it's a Nets policy, is going to get paid for the games that he would have been eligible to play on the road in the places he could, minus the California games and minus – so he was – still going to make $16, $17, $18 million. He's still going to, you know, we got to see what the policies, if they loosen up by the time the games come around. But he's going to get checks for staying home. And they said, hey, and then we got to decide when this thing finally comes to an end and we get back to normal where we're not talking about vaccines every day and vaccinations every day. Then we'll see about a future because he's got a ton of money coming on this next contract. It is a big boy contract.
It's a $186 million extension. That's what it
but,
is.
But not bad to still make $16, $17, $18 million and sit out all year, pretty much, which leads me to this. Going to drive you guys nuts. You really want to win. Their ownership really wants to win. Would you take them part-time? Would the team buy into a guy just playing road games?
I think if you have a guy like leading your team like Jimmy Butler, it's going to be a big no.
Well, we're not talking about Jim. We're talking about the Nets.
I'm just talking about teams around the league.
Well,
because if you don't want him, you have to trade him.
It's a different makeup down here than they have up there. This culture.
Well, there's
is
a very
different.
Interesting dynamic with this team in that both Kyrie and Harden have their player options coming up at the end of this one. Durant is the only player that signed an extension, so he's the only guy locked into this thing. I could see James Harden leaving. The Nets obviously are not going to want, no matter what happens, they're not going to want Kyrie Irving back.
Well, James Harden already said that he's going to test free agency.
Yeah, and he should, and I don't see any reason why James Harden would want to be a part of this anymore. I'm telling you guys, he looked absolutely exhausted yesterday when he was getting peppered with questions about Kai. It's really insane.
Here's what's going to happen. This usually happens. They win a championship, it'll take care of a lot of who's coming back and who's not. But here's the other part. If they come up short, first thing you're going to do, if that ass clown would have played with us, he would have definitely made a difference. Because one player can make a difference in the NBA. And there's going to be people. So I wonder if Kevin Durant and James Harden were asked this next question. How do you guys feel about him being a part-time player? And we'll just use him on the road for all these road games. We got long road trips. He'll be able to play most of them except Golden State, L.A., and L.A.
Right, New York City and San Francisco.
Actually, that's a lot of basketball games, right. Just that West Coast swing potentially. Sacramento. God, I forgot Sacramento. There's four different teams in that state.
Right.
But would you want him for 36, 35, 34 games?
I mean, you asked during the break, would you take Kyrie like in a trade? Would you want him on your team? I can't imagine any situation where you'd want Kyrie Irving on your team right now.
Not if he's going to play.
I don't care.
Games.
No, but I don't care if he's eligible to play every game. So if he's on Miami, right? Like, I don't care if he's eligible to play in you know, what would it be, 75, 80, whatever it is. I don't care at this point. The guy's just too difficult.
No,
I
mean, I'm going to go the opposite there.
He's absolutely too difficult, and I think Kyrie is one of the most talented, top five talented guys in the league.
Oh, we have to.
He is unbelievably talented. He's a very, very fun player. One of my favorite players to watch when he actually cares and is playing.
But with that said, if he's playing 75, 80 games,
I just think he's just overall just too difficult of a human being to deal with. I mean, like a texter goes like, isn't he the one that believes the earth is flat? And like, yeah, like he's spouted out a lot of nonsense over his deal here. He's a very, very tough human being to deal with.
I think he throws the mental health card out a couple times a year too when something that's going on.
We took a week off last season when something happened that he didn't like politically.
You
would yes,
but would you take him on
the
your
Capitol
team,
attack was
that what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the
would
one
you take
that
him
most
on
people
team?
Had to come to work that next day.
I would not.
You wouldn't take him on your
no.
team. If he could play 75, 80
no.
games.
No.
You can't have that guy on your team.
My God, man, the NBA guys are
and you mentioned
pretty
Jimmy
much
Butler,
running
Zach.
The league. Yeah.
Like, you want to bring him down here and let Jimmy deal with that
I'm just
guy?
Saying on your team in general.
Jimmy,
you said
him.
What team would take. I'm telling you that there's teams out there that would take Kyrie Irving on their team if he could play 75, 80 games. If he could play 30 games plus and that's it, there's no way a team would take
right.
him.
And they're not just going to offer him up, by the way, for a freebie here. Like, you're going to have to give something in return. You're going to have to take on.
Well, you're not going
to
get much in return
this
right
year.
Now for Kyrie. You're not going to get much of
I don't know. By the way, I'm guessing every team has done the math on it and said, let me see where we are right now. First of all, how long is this thing going to last? That comes into play. Are we ever going to get back to normal? And then how am I going to do in the States? How many games are we looking at missing? And do we put up with him? Because he does have the other issue that pops up, and he comes in and says, I need personal days. I got to work through some things. And how long did that thing last? The last one, would you say it was a week and a half? My God, it seemed like he was gone a long time. It's just a crazy story. This one is crazy. And so he came out yesterday and told his side of the story. Not that Kevin Durant or James Harden really care about it. They realize now, and I'm sure they, as you said, Woody, aren't going, man, good for you. Way to stand up. They're like,
no, they're done with him. As
they
want to
win championships.
James Harden, man, I'm telling you, he gets up to the podium. He's got his hoodie on. He don't want to answer any of these questions, and he's just getting blasted and peppered with them. And, you know, the media has to ask them, right? Like, these are the big questions around the team. But those guys seem done with him. I wouldn't be shocked to see James Harden leave there after this
season.
Well,
he can't leave until after the season.
No, after the season. Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked to see that. And
I think the question needs to be asked to Kevin Durant, because I don't think James Harden means – I mean, he means a lot to that team, but he didn't come with
I think they both got called in. It's been pretty clear.
Kevin
they both
Durant
got called in.
Is the one that the front office and the owner need to go talk to. And
well,
say,
Kevin Durant has already
think?
Said that too, that he doesn't want to deal with the guy part time either. But here's the thing: like Kyrie,
your decision right there.
Kyrie is gonna if he's gonna become a free agent, who the hell is gonna sign this guy? Especially to the max contract he's gonna want. Unless he wants to go play out in Sacramento or something. Like, who's gonna sign this guy to a max contract? He's just
by the way
way too difficult.
And if you think he would go to Sacramento. No shot. All the money in the world, he would not play in Sacramento.
He's the most difficult person we have in sports right now. Is he not?
He's by himself. I didn't have to think about it. I was
Joe,
like,
you've been doing this a whole lot longer than I have. You've never seen a guy take off the way that this guy does it.
No.
And not only that, but,
the reason
tell
he's
the
been
team when he's doing it.
But he's
he
able
missing.
To. He's able to do this because he's so damn good. We sure put up
if he's
a
bad
lot.
Player, no one would care.
It's amazing, though, when somebody's really good. Compared to just an average player on their team, it's amazing what we'll put up with, isn't it? And talk about and come into play. And if you don't think the Nets are still holding out, going maybe this guy, maybe he'll come around. Maybe one day he just says, "Okay, this is crazy. I'm coming back. I'm not happy, but I'm coming back." But he doesn't look like that kind of guy. I think we'd all agree with that. Hey, by the way, the other thing is the other crazy story that everybody really picked up on yesterday is this Washington football team and all their problems on this investigation. And everybody's starting to laugh now, like John Gruden's what we got out of the investigation. Friggin' John Gruden. And so
with a side of Schefter,
John Gruden. Yeah. So now Adam Schefter, now he's backpedaling. He went zone. Jeez. He went zone yesterday because, boy, I tell you what, a lot of people affiliated with Bruce Allen going, "Yeah, I know, I've done some things." Listen, Adam, you're sleazy. You got to be a sleazy guy for what you do for a living. You're breaking stories. It's a give and take. You do a lot of different things, and you do like you're made for radio, man. You really are. Adam Schefter, if this thing, because I don't want to hear about his journalistic integrity. That's done. I mean, that's not.
Wasn't that thrown out the window with the Jason Pierre-Paul stuff from the hospital years ago? Remember, like, when he got all that information? All the HIPAA stuff on that?
Yeah, right. I would just say to Adam, and look, he is breaking a lot of stuff. He's got a great, he's got the Bruce Allens of the world, who's a scumbag, and he's got agents. I know Drew and those guys all make sure they feed him. He gets it first or second, according which is your most popular guy to feed it to. But, like, everybody's going to get on him and, you know, his unethical behavior, and there's some articles out there. Well, yeah. If I got to write something for you to help a guy get traded or send a message so maybe you can get somebody you really want, I'll do that if you'll turn around and give me a really good story on a big, big story for my business. Yeah, that's Adam Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's going to do.
Right.
But anybody thinks, like, Adam was, like, you know, wow, he's breaking all the rules of the media
Baloney.
And the print media right. who always hold themselves at a different standard. I don't know anymore they do. They used
Come
to.
On.
A little different
the
now.
World
with social
has changed,
media.
Right.
Social media's kind of changed
Come
that a little
on.
Bit. All right, listen, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. A lot more stuff to get to here this morning. As we got hockey night here in South Florida, man. That's right. Steve Goldstein's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. That very, very talented Panthers team is ready to open up at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins, man, who already got a nice win against Tampa Bay a couple of days ago. So we'll talk to Steve Goldstein about that coming up, as well as a lot of other crazy stories that are out there this morning. Right now, though, I want to talk to you about Chapman Partnership. Well, what tell you what, doing great work for the homeless, have been for a long, long time, 25 years. Chapman Partnership has been around helping the homeless, and they do so much more than just become a shelter where you have a place to sleep and they give you a bite to eat. It's so much more. It really is about rehabilitation. It is about a self-sufficient life through comprehensive care. That's all the different programs they have while you're in Chapman Partnership. The goal, I've told people here real quickly, this is what is 90 to 120 days, be able to get them, whether it's mental health, help them get on the right meds, help them just get back to normal, help them find a job, help them find a place to live. That's what it's about. So they're not in a Chapman Partnership facility for longer than 90 to 120 days, and they do a great job with it. They got so many great success stories there. We need your help, though, to keep all these great programs to help the homeless. And, boy, I'll tell you what, Dade County, you should be proud of this because Chapman Partnership's got these two homeless facilities, and they do so much good work for families getting back together, getting them outside of Chapman Partnership, finding a place to live, finding jobs, man, getting their just self-esteem back. So all you have to do is go online to chapmanpartnership.org/donate. If you'd like to get involved with your generosity with money, we'd love to have it. If you just want to get involved with Chapman Partnership, we can always use a helping hand as well. So if you're new in town and would like to find out more about Chapman Partnership, just go to chapmanpartnership.org/donate and learn how you can help the homeless to a life and a path towards self-sufficiency. And you can be a big part of it. Chapman Partnership, thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular-season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.